Ready?
Yeah.
Welcome back to our study of Revelation. We're going to begin in the 13th chapter here in a few moments.
But before I start into this 13th chapter, I feel like I need to bring some explanation because of what my objective was is dealing with the Great Tribulation period. That generally that's always equated to 7 year. My objective was to show you that you don't see a 7 year recorded. Now, when we say the Great Tribulation period, the Bible doesn't speak of it in that way. However, you know, if you think about the siege of Jerusalem, for instance, they were under siege for such a long period that they were eating their children. Prior to that, when Elisha was prophet, what happened in Samaria? The siege was so bad that they were eating their children. And then you think of all the annihilations of the war. Well, I mean, if you're in that situation, it's great tribulation. You understand? And it is a period of time. It is a tribulation period. And to you, it might be the great tribulation period. It's like that in the book of Acts when the church was birthed. And the heavy persecution. And so what our objective was is don't make a doctrine out of a 7 year great tribulation period because the Bible doesn't teach it. I definitely believe that there is great persecution. There's people on earth today that are under heavy persecution, being killed. You understand? They could say they were in great tribulation today. You follow me? So I'm not refuting the fact there's not great tribulation. But, you know, just like some of your subtitles in your Bible, your headers, you know, say the great tribulation, the great tribulation period. Those are things I'm telling you to be cautious with. Okay? Now, with that in mind, we're going into this 13th chapter of what people would call the Great Tribulation. Okay? But let's lay aside the church jargon, these religious phrases, and let's just look and see what the Bible has to say and build our doctrine off the Bible and not, you know, try to come up with phrases and catchy things, okay? You want to read the 13th chapter?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy.
Let's just read this verse 1. Okay? Because we're going to make some comments on this. We'll break this up, okay?
Okay.
Yes, I told you wrong.
Okay.
All right. So while standing on the sand of the sea, John saw a dangerous animal rise up out of the sea. Now, the animal had 7 heads, 10 horns, 10 crowns, and there was a crown on each one of the 10 horns. And upon these heads were blasphemous names. Blaspheme means evil, hurtful names that were on it. Now, let me break this down if I understand this correctly, and I'm getting this from what I see in the scriptures. The sea being people. You ever talked about a sea of people? You ever heard that phrase used? So rising up out of the sea signifies to me, and I believe the Lord gave this to me, a system that comes out of or from the people. Okay? Just keep these things in mind. The Greek word, ekklesia, from which we get the word church, if you look at the definition, it simply means a calling out. Okay? So, and it's not exclusive for church. When the ekklesia can be any group that's called out. And so it's actually talking about people, a segment of people being called out from a mass of people. I'll give you a prime example of this. You see it in every country. A segment of people run the country. Now, I don't care what the type government they have, it's still a segment of people. Okay? And that segment came out of the mass of the people. And we have our systems, whether it be monarchy, anarchy, if it's democratic, dictatorship, or whatever, that's a system of government, type of government, okay? Now, this dangerous animal, I believe, if I understand this correctly, is an exclusive governing body that's called out and distinguished from the mass of the people. Well, how could that be? You've got it in existence right now under your nose.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the United Nations. To where they have formed their own army, police, as they call it. And so they police the world. I just heard that they've just sent their police into Haiti to try to restore order. You with me? You see that governing body out of the masses? Okay, yes, we have it right now. And they're distinguished. They're not under the law of Haiti, nor any other country. They're under their own governing laws. You follow me? So this dangerous animal probably signifies ecclesiastical governing body. Now, ecclesiastical would have to do with religion. And I want you to stay with me on this, okay? You got your study guide. So the dangerous animal appears to be the scarlet beast of Revelation chapter 17 and verse 1. And we'll wait till we get there to talk about that, okay? Now, the seven heads represent seven ruling powers, okay? Heads of state. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
The ten horns with the ten crowns represent ten rulers. These are authoritative people, but they have not yet received a kingdom. They're in the wings, so to speak, waiting for everything for the stage to be set, the theater of operation, however you want to say it. Now, the blasphemous names identify the system as one that is in opposition to Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. It is an anti-Christ system.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
Now, in Daniel 7, and I'm going to ask Heather if you'd read Daniel 7, verses 2 through 18.
Okay. Daniel spoke and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse from one another. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the horns were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were open. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spoke. I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by, and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me, and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are 4 kings, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom, and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever.
Then read Revelation chapter 13, verse 2.
And the beast...
verse 2.
And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority.
So the dangerous animal that John saw had the appearance of a leopard. The feet were like those of a bear, and its mouth was like that of a lion. And the serpent gave the dangerous animal its power and throne of great authority. Now, that serpent is always going to be referring to the devil. Now, if you have King James, it may be saying dragon, but if you look it up, it's actually the word serpent, okay? Now, I believe Daniel 7, verses 2 through 18, which Heather read, will give us great insight into the meaning of the leopard, the bear, and the lion. The leopard represents the Grecian Empire. The bear represents the Medo-Persian Empire. And the lion represents the Babylonian empire. And so you see in Daniel 7:17, that these animals represent kingdoms. And, you know, it started with, like, Daniel was given a lot of end-time information, starting with the interpretation of the dream of Nebuchadnezzar where he saw the statue. And you see the descending kingdoms, Babylonian. Okay. And you see the Medo-Persian Empire. This is silver now. And then it goes down to bronze. And then it goes down to iron and clay. Okay. And so when you look at this, you can get insight into what these things mean. Now, Bible, the scripture interprets scripture. So you need to take all the Bible, old and new, and look at it together, and then glean principles and get understanding out of the scriptures. You see where I'm coming from? And so what is it that this means? I believe, I mean, we've already talked about the descending kingdoms and all that. I believe that it means that this thing that John is seeing now is incorporating these other three kingdoms. The Roman Empire incorporating things from the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, and the Grecian Empire. You with me? Even though Rome was ruling when Jesus came to earth, what language were they speaking? Greek? And so the Grecian Empire had great influence on Rome. But yet, even though Rome is using different segments of government, drawing things from these empires, government, it's a very unique government, and it's not monarchical, but it's more democratic. This is actually how the United States is set up. So Rome was, I know you had your Caesar, but the Senate had great power. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you look in the United States. See, we're actually patterned after that, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, and so this dangerous animal has these attributes from each of these kingdoms. Now, this one's unique in that it's not exactly like the other. Generally, when you think of a world power, you think of one ruler. But not so with the Roman government. Actually, it was a governor, not Caesar, who executed Jesus. Right? Mm-hmm. They had provinces, mm-hmm. and you had these proconsuls or governors or whatever over these provinces. And so it was ruled differently. Okay? Now, Daniel was intrigued with this fourth dangerous animal. And I call it dangerous animal because this beast is dangerous. Mm-hmm. Okay? And that's the connotation that we're getting from this. He asked what it represented. And in Daniel 17, if you want to read verses 19 through 27, he actually tells him or gives him a reply to his request on this fourth kingdom, which would be the Roman Empire.
Okay. Daniel 7, verse 19. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured, broke in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came out, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that spoke very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of his kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him.
Now, my objective is not to teach the book of Daniel, okay? That's not what we're about. But in order to teach the revelation, there's things we have to glean out of Daniel. Now, if you see these things, and it's spoken symbolically, you understand, parabolic, okay? Now, if you... I don't know how you feel about this, but I'll just throw it out anyway. If you read the Maccabees, which are books of the Apocrypha, that's not included in our Bible, and rightfully so, because they're bringing attention to men, not to God. Okay? But they're like history, and you had the family of the Maccabeans, and the Maccabean family was fighting to keep the Jews from being annihilated by Antiochus Epiphanes. You see, you had Antiochus 1, 2, 3, 4, Antiochus the 4th, Antiochus Epiphanes, okay? He was the most vicious, and he came up deceptively. He didn't overthrow people militarily, but he came up through deception, flattery, and all this type of stuff. And then he took it upon himself to try to extinguish the Jews. Okay? Now this is the Roman Empire. Okay? And the Maccabees kept that from occurring. And Antiochus Epiphanes desecrated their temple by offering a sow, a pig, on the altar. You with me? And so, these things had occurred. Those have already occurred. Great swelling words is flattery, okay? Those things have occurred. And it's important to see that. And a lot of people have the idea that Antiochus Epiphanes was the Antichrist. Well, he was Antichrist. You understand? But there's a lot of Antichrist. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
And don't overlook that fact. Was he the Antichrist? I believe the Antichrist is a system. People tried to make Nero the Antichrist. We can talk about that a little later on. We get into it. But the thing that I'm wanting you to see is this dangerous animal, how dangerous this Roman Empire was. This Roman Empire was trying to exterminate the Jews. Now, it's said there toward the last part of that, that the the saints overcome. Mm-hmm. The kingdom is everlasting kingdom. When did Jesus come to earth? Was it not during the Roman Empire? Mm-hmm. What was the last world empire that Nebuchadnezzar saw in that dream of that statue? Rome. Mm-hmm. What happened in that dream? A stone without hands was cut out of the mountain, rolled down, hit that thing and crushed that entire statue. And then it said that that stone filled the earth. Progressive. The kingdom of God. When did the kingdom of God come to earth? Under the Roman Empire. You with me? John the Baptist says, the kingdom is near you. Jesus says, you know, that the kingdom's near you. If I with the finger of God cast out devils, the kingdom of God's come to you. And I believe on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God fell upon those in the upper room and they were all baptized under heavy persecution, people being killed, imprisoned, their goods confiscated, or people fleeing to other places to keep from getting killed. But the heavier the persecution, the more the Word of God grew and multiplied. What's happening? The kingdom of God fill in the earth. You see that? And so that came. Let's read verses 3 and 4 together.
Okay. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?
So, one of the heads of this dangerous animal appeared to be slaughtered to death, and the deadly wound was healed. And all the earth was astonished at the dangerous animal, and they worshipped the serpent. They worshipped the devil, who gave the dangerous animal its authority. Now, this is the thing that concerns me, how people are so enamored with spectacular things, looking for signs, looking for this, looking for that. And that's how the devil's going to deceive them with miraculous things. Mm-hmm. God wants us to look at the Word and get established in the Word so we don't fall for the lie. Now, we've already learned that these heads represent sovereign rule. Therefore, the deadly wound of one of these heads refers to a sovereign rule that appeared to be mortally wounded. Gone. The healing of the deadly wound signifies the reviving of that former sovereignty. Well, the political kingdom of a sovereignty can be mortally wounded in an ecclesiastical system. Continue. Ecclesiastical being religious. Okay? Now it says, people in the earth worshipped the dangerous animal, saying, Who is like the dangerous animal? Who is able to fight against him? I mean, look at the power he has. Now, let's go ahead and read verse 5.
Okay. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months.
Now, this dangerous animal was given a mouth. That tells me that the dangerous animal didn't have a mouth. Systems don't have a mouth. They have to get a spokesman for the system. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
And so it says a mouth was given to him to speak great blasphemies and gave authority to continue for 42 months or 3.5 years. Now it's important that we realize that because this doesn't have a mouth, it's not I don't believe it's referring to a man as an individual man, but referring to a system. And so the dangerous animal is given a mouth, which in all probability is a spokesman for this dangerous animal. Okay? Now, it appears to me that the dangerous animal is a system that's comprised of various ruling elements. Now, you think of any government, when you look specifically at the United States, and I'm not saying the United States is this dangerous animal, don't go there. But you look at the ruling bodies in this United States. You have a Senate, you have the Congress, the House of Representatives, you have the judicial system, and then you have the heads of state, the administrative side, or legislation, administration, and then judicial. You look at it, that's what rules, but they have to have a mouth. Somebody has to speak for that. And I believe this is where people are missing it on this Antichrist thing, is they're looking to put a 666 across the forehead of a man. And I believe the Antichrist is a system that is against Christ, which will involve a lot of people to make this thing come to pass. But ultimately, that system will have a man as a spokesman.
Yeah.
You with me?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you look at the world kingdoms. Babylon's gone.
Yeah.
Medo-Persian's gone. Grecian's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Rome's not ruling the world anymore. But are they?
Mm.
Who is more powerful on earth than the Roman Catholic Church? Who has more money than the Roman Catholic Church? Who has more influence than the Roman Catholic Church? Could this be the deadly wound that was healed? The civil government went down, but that revived through a ruling power, revives through an ecclesiastical government. And who's the spokesman? You afraid to say it? The Pope?
The Pope.
But it's an Antichrist system. The Catholic Church, the whole organization, is an Antichrist system. Well, how do you know about it? I ordered their books from them. Their catechism, their compendium. And I've read them. And they'll lie to you. They say they don't believe this, but that's their belief. And if you become a part of that, you sign. You're signing a covenant with them.
Mm-hmm.
And in that covenant, if you break it, then you're doomed to hell by them, by their standard. I got your interest, your attention. A lot of people don't believe it. But the handwriting's on the wall, and as we go through this revelation, you're going to see it. And you're going to see that everything that's going on in the religious society is out of the Catholic Church. You with me? Judaism ruled the Jews, but now Catholicism rules the world. Even the World Council of Churches, although the Catholics are not a member, they attend all the meetings, and they have the influence. And if you've ever heard of all these different councils, who determines what books are in the Bible? Who determines this? Who determines that? It's the Catholics. You understand? And I can read you right out of this doctrine right here, that it says that the Pope, when making a decision, is infallible, mm-hmm. that Peter was infallible, that Peter was the head of the church, not Jesus, and that the Pope is the successor of Peter. And so when the Pope stands up to make a decision, he's infallible, he's in the place of God. Now you tell me that's not Antichrist. I know you tread on dangerous water when you do this, but the truth has to be spoken. You understand? And I believe that the deadly wound that was being healed with this beast is in this ecclesiastical system. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll give you something to chew on there for a while. I'll let you go. Think about it. Go back and read it. Now, let me just read this. This spokesman opens his mouth and speaks blasphemies against God. It blasphemes his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. The dangerous animal gives permission to make war with the saints to overcome them. It's given authority over clans, languages, and races. Any of you ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs? Been around for many, many years. If you read that book, you will find that it's the Christians being murdered by the Catholic Church. The Catholics are calling for their execution. Burning at the stake. Burning Bibles. All these atrocities committed. What are they doing? They're against the saints. They'll put who they want as saint. All right, I'll stop there. We'll pick back up with it next session. Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory. Your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you flee before you. Amen. Anybody know what the word Catholic means? Universal.
Mm-hmm.